The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Justin Gaethje by first round knockout again. Holy smoke, Justin Gaethje has some power.
Max effort is all I expect from myself. I will be satisfied no matter what.
Ladies and gentlemen, the human highlight, Justin Gaethje.
All right, welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I once again in our separate locations like everybody else in the world. Busy show. We have my pal Matt Eisman is calling in. Matt's a very interesting guy. I don't know how big of a, I hope he's a big MMA fan.
Is he a comedian, Jimmy?
He's a comedian, but he's also like, he was the host of, I think it was American Ninja Warriors it was called. I should know that because he's my friend. Yeah. We also have the great Justin Gaethje, who is the guy I feel worse for in this entire 249 saga. I feel worse for Justin Gaethje. Ferguson too, but Justin Gaethje really, you know, Tony knows he's fighting for the belt. Justin just got thrown in and had a shot at the title, and that opportunity will not happen, unfortunately, on April 18th.
It was a roller coaster. I want to hear about the roller coaster of emotions he went through with that.
I would
Jimmy,
love to.
Jimmy, yes, sir. What do you think about my facial hair?
I don't know if I like it.
Well, I
understand. I don't know, Matt, if I like it.
Jimmy!
This is what Matt Seller looks like if he gets arrested. Like, if Matt's arrested and he's locked up for 4 or 5 days, this is what Matt Seller would look like if he wasn't the friendly guy that we've come to know.
This is like bizarro evil Matty. Look at this, right? With this. And I got some like gray coming in.
I can't like see white. The gray.
But you know what it is, Jimmy? My head, smooth.
Yeah.
I still shave off. I'm not some kind of bum here. I am still like shaving my head, so it's nice and it's smooth. But I didn't shave for a few days, and my wife goes, you know, why don't you let that grow out a little bit?
Really?
Listen, man, I don't know. And I'm like, you know what? I like to be shaven, and then my daughter starts playing with, like, oh, that's nice, because they don't like when it bothers them when I kiss them, but they like to play with it. So I'm like, you know what? Let's grow it. Let's get crazy during quarantine. Let's grow this baby out a little bit.
You're going to grow a beard.
That's my story, Jimmy. So, I mean, listen, it looks a little strange. I was never a guy with facial hair.
No.
But I'm just going to say, F it. Because, you know, hey, I'm in quarantine. How are you handling this? Are you getting stir crazy? Is it getting to the point where you're like, look, I'm not liking the routine? How are you dealing with it, buddy?
You know, I've the last 2 days, I'm on day 5 of that intermittent fasting where I'm only eating from 11 to 7, and I'm mixing it in with a little bit of keto. Like, I'm not doing a full keto diet, but I'm doing mostly keto stuff just to kind of keep myself from getting really fat, because I have gotten a little bit fat. So I want to drop like 10 pounds by the time this whole thing is over. So intermittent fasting, which is only eating for certain periods, is helping. And working out a few times a week. But yeah, I'm getting very stir crazy. Like, it's getting to a point now where I'm getting restless and my energy is kind of shitty. And I'm, you know, I'm just getting frustrated. And like, I feel like I'm itching. Like, I want to get the fuck out of the house.
Right,
you know?
Right. You know what's been saving me and my family is the bike rides. I mean, obviously a shitty day like this, it's not happening. It's all rainy and stuff in New York. But, you know, we don't go on any trails. We do it around town. We don't go near anybody. It's like, dude, I'm telling you. It felt like a scene at, I might have said this last week, like a scene at a Lost Boys or something. They're trying to get home. I go, all right, kids, let's play before it gets dark, because it was kind of late. We got to get home before the zombies come out. And we're riding around town. Everything's closed down. I don't know. Listen, you got to make the best of it, man. And the ride, I could ride a fucking bike. I know that sounds pathetic being a former champion, but my knees suck, so the walking's out.
Right.
So I just got to get in what I get in. I like that mountain bike thing. It's fucking comfortable. So, Jimmy, I don't know. My days have been virtual reality and just hanging out with the fam pretty much. I really can't complain. We're making the best of it. It's just scary times when you think about how soon we're getting back up and running with everyday life. You know what I mean? Because I could do this for another month easy. But another two, another three? I mean, when the fuck, Jimmy?
I think June 1st, I think things will start to loosen up a little bit in May. I think a lot of stuff will start going back June 1st. Maybe I'm just being positive about it, but these fucking guys are like, oh, it's going to be 6 months. I really, half of these shitty clickbait websites, I just can't anymore. I just can't look at them. They're just revolting. This one headline, USA faces 18 more months of shutdowns. Shut the fuck up. No, we don't.
Hey, man, asshole. All I know is Fighter Island or Fight Island's going to be opened up before you. That'll probably be opened up first, and I'm looking forward to that. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, and Dana had to do the move. You know, one thing I hadn't considered, and I'm guessing a lot of people hadn't either, was he finally backed off on the idea of 249 at the Indian Reservation because, the ESPN and Disney higher up said that they didn't want to run ads for it. And I guess I get that because if a fighter gets hurt and has to go to the hospital, that's an additional strain put on the hospital that they don't need when they're trying to take care of corona patients. And I hadn't thought of that angle. And I think a lot of people hadn't. Like guys that are going to need to go to the hospital for things, it's like this is an avoidable injury. You just don't have to do this right now.
Yeah.
So that maybe they probably made the right move. But I love the fact that he tried it and he did whatever he could. And then when it got to a point where it's just not feasible, he went, all right, fuck it. It's not going to happen. I tried. He tried. He did what he had to do.
Fighter Island. I want to tell you about a text I got from Marco. Listen to this. Only because I don't want to. It's so great. I just want it exactly how he said it to me. Longo said, wouldn't it be great? Let me see. Where the fuck is it? And basically, he said, wouldn't it be great that if he got Joe Silva back and he hired him to be like Tattoo and be like, the plane. Fucking Joe Silver, that little motherfucker. Wouldn't that be great? You know who Joe Silver is?
I do, yeah.
Dude, you put that dude, that guy's up to my shoulders. You put that little fucker in a white little outfit. You dress damn, that could be the new Fantasy Island. But Fight Island, he will be like, what is it, Dr. Monroe? Who the fuck is that Dr. Monroe?
No,
who's
Dr. the guy? No, that's something Dr. different. Monroe? Who
Wait, who's Rourke. Who?
Mr. Rourke and Tattoo.
Mr. Rourke!
Dr. Monroe.
That's a different show. That's like a beast and stuff, right? Who the fuck's Dr. Monroe?
I don't know.
You know though. You heard that name before.
Here's my friend Monroe.
Dr. Rourke. Who is it? Mr. Rourke.
Remember Too Close for Comfort? Monroe. That's where I remember Monroe from.
I don't. I might have made that up, but I do know that Longo hit the nail on the head. With Dana could be Mr. Rourke and have Joe Silva come back as Tattoo. That will be the fucking best ever. I need that. People make memes of that shit. I need to see it.
Meanwhile, what was that Longo video you posted? You posted a Longo video of him hitting the bag. He really obviously knows what he's doing with nunchucks. And how old was that?
I don't think he had nunchucks, did he?
Didn't he in one of the? I thought he did.
I think he had a knife or something like that. He practiced with his knife. He's getting ready for like the zombie apocalypse in his basement.
Yeah.
Dude, Longo sent me a picture this morning. His fucking a guy's neighbor's tree fell down and took out his fucking chimney. A couple feet over, we wouldn't have Longo anymore. It's fucking crazy. Yeah, man. I go, Longo, you're worried about the coronavirus. You're going to have a fucking oak tree land on your fucking head. Dude, it ruined his, busted his chimney up. Crazy shit, Jimmy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
What's up, man? What's up, Matt?
Sir, pleasure to meet you, man.
So nice to meet you, Matt. How exciting.
This is good. I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm glad you guys are still doing content. I mean, it's got to be – it's nice to do something in this era of just sitting on your ass.
Hey, man. Matty, let me tell you, dude. I own – besides this, I got two jiu-jitsu schools, and they're not booming right now. So I got a lot of time, man. I've been just doing bike rides and – Uno games with my children.
Yeah.
And at least now more than ever, at least people probably watching and listening to podcasts. So
if we could only have been Tiger King, man, that I think that is going to be the defining pop culture event of this entire quarantine.
Yeah.
I don't think the story's over. I think that guy's, how long was he in jail for, Joe?
I don't know. I did not see it.
Oh, you didn't see
last night. No, I didn't see last night's the update.
Was that last night?
I think it was last night. Joel McHale was doing the wrap up. I think that was the new episode. I didn't catch it though. I can't believe I was busy. Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Oh, I watched the last episode. I haven't watched the last episode.
It's a new episode that was just released. You know, I don't know that there was anything earth shattering in it. Clearly, there wasn't, because we would have seen it all about it on Twitter.
Right, but the fact is they're probably adding a little bit, and there's also they're doing something on Carol Baskin on I think it might be Discovery or someplace is doing something on her, and she said she feels betrayed by the producers, like she thought she was getting this A+ interview, hey cats and kittens, and the next thing you know there's a whole episode about this.
Who was the guy who confessed to the murder while he was mic'd in the bathroom? What, Robert Durst?
Robert Durst, yeah.
Was it Robert Durst? Yeah, I mean it's the same.
Killed all.
I love Jim's impressions. He was the guy who like killed three of his wives, and he was doing this documentary where he's just so arrogant, and then he's in the bathroom giving himself a pep talk going, what did you do? You killed them all. That's what you did. He was mic'd.
Fucking creepy.
Yeah, they end the documentary with it. It's so crazy.
I know. If you're a documentarian though, that's the kind of subject you want.
What's the name of that one? Which is that?
I don't know. It's not Making a Murderer.
Stephen Avery and Brendan Dassey.
Yeah.
This was, I don't remember what this was called, but this was Robert Durst. And, you know, he was a really wealthy guy. And it was a couple of his girlfriends, or like his wife and his some girlfriend of his. I don't know. He was not a very good guy, though.
No.
Not to say the least. So wait, now how long, Matt, did you do the American Ninja Warrior?
Still doing it.
And that's what's still going on. Graff does, right? Jennifer Graff. I'm fucking up a name. Am I way off? Who's the girl that?
Jesse Graff. Yes.
Jesse Graff. Oh,
yeah. Is this what you do, Jim Norton, with Matt Serra? You just try to interpret this pugilist's word salad? No, yeah, Jesse Graff does it.
Paragraph.
I got it, though. It was effective. We were supposed to start filming season 12 March 13th, and then obviously everything just got. You know, as did everyone. We were ready to go. The course was all set up out here in Los Angeles, and then we're just in the waiting. We're in the holding period. And you know what we're doing with production is figuring out. All right, once this gets lifted, what do we do? How do we do an entire season? Because usually we travel around the country. So now they're kicking around. Do we do it in one city, then go to Vegas? Or likely, we'll just go to Vegas, shoot an entire season, and probably. A month. We'll just stay there for a month, and which, you know, not a bad place to get out of quarantine, but who knows when that's going to be.
Yeah, because Vegas is shut down too. I mean,
totally.
Even when the casinos are closed, there's a real problem. Like, I know the casinos are closed for anything.
And the big question is, you know, we saw it with Dana White, and people want to get back to it, but who's going to be the first to do an event with the public coming out? Who's going to take that risk to lead the way? I think the NFL could do it. Because they're kind of the 800-pound gorilla, and everyone will move heaven and earth for them. But who's going to be the first event when this is all done, and you know, 60,000 people together? It could. Who knows? Who knows if it happens or if it's going to be crowd-free for a while?
Yeah, they won't even open things. I think the stadiums will be the last things to get opened. Anything that has like 5, 10, 20,000 people will be the last thing to open up.
How many nightclubs when I'm performing?
Are you doing, by the way, you have a nice setup there. Like, that's a really professional looking mic. Yeah. And was that new or you had that?
No, I do this for voiceover. I don't get much voiceover work, but just had this set up and it's been, so now I'm, you know, kicking up. I've got a back room. I'm trying to set up something where I can do more remote broadcasting because I think I do a show with A&E where we follow first responders. And it's the same thing where we shot out of New York. So I'd fly to New York. That's not going to happen. And so figuring out, you know, everything I think is going to start off remotely. So there's just gonna be a lot of broadcasting. I mean, this is it. This is the future. This is TV and every entertainment for the foreseeable future.
Now, Maddie, I'm sorry, Jimmy. I hope you don't mind me calling you Maddie. I took that liberty.
Dude, please, anything.
Okay.
I'm just. You can call me whatever you want, Sarah.
Listen, no, my question is, you know, Jimmy knows you from the comedy circuit and whatnot. For the people that don't know you, you are a, it's unusual because you're a comedian, but you're also a doctor.
Yeah, Ken Jong is the only one. So I went to med school. You know, I thought that was going to be my path. My it turns out, but my heart wasn't in it. And I was lucky enough to kind of be able to take a pause and reevaluate. I was in residency. I did medical school in New York. I was doing my training, and it's just and right now is the prime example where you see medicine's not a job, man. It's a calling. You're out there, people's lives in your hands, and now risking your own life. And I was, you know, going to the hospital, just thinking I wanted to play. I was thinking about playing Nintendo 64, going skiing, hanging out with my friends. And so I thought this is not good for me or my patients. So I took a break. I'd done stand up a few times. I thought, hey, I'm going to go out to L.A., clear my mind. I thought I would just need to grow up. And instead, I got out to L.A., started doing open mics and fell in love with that. And then I got into commercials early on. So was making enough money that I didn't have to go back and just. One thing led to another, and I'm so glad, and especially right now, I hate to say this, I'm glad I'm not in the hospital.
Yeah,
in front of it. I have a lot of my friends are. You know, I had a buddy who's a surgeon who decided to go into the ER to help people contracted COVID. He's okay, but it's this thing of you really are placing your life at risk doing this job now.
What are the two drugs? There's hydroxychloroquine.
Hydroxychloroquine.
And there's one more.
Yeah, the malarial one. Then they're talking about azithromycin. So, you know, I far be it for me to pass judgment on this. And I think it's clear. Both. The good thing is both of those are long. We have a long history of people taking these medications. So it's not that we're bringing something new out where you don't know the side effects, but we're not sure how effective they are. And we still don't know the exact mechanism, you know, of some of the lung damage and what's going on. So, you know, whether these drugs are actually impacting it or whether there was something else going on, we don't know. But it's, you know, this is what we're all figuring out. It's an interesting time in that never, certainly in my lifetime, has the entire world been focused on one problem.
Right.
And seeing everything from technology, private industry, government, everyone is focused on figuring out how we combat this. So, you know, we're seeing some innovations, but it takes time.
Hey, Matt, we'll get back to this crisis in a second. All right. But you're a fucking you're a fucking comedian. Listen, I got it. This is very, because you know why it's unusual, the whole comedian and the doctor thing. Your parents, are they alive?
They are. Okay. They are.
Thank God. That would have been awkward. But now, your parents, you're a doctor. You're doing your thing. You see, you got your thing going set up and whatnot. And all of a sudden, you're like, you know what? I'd rather do the Nintendo 64. I'm going to L.A. Do they want to disown you? What do they say?
So my dad's a doctor, and he was a professor at the University of Colorado where I was training. So we were working together. He saw me. And that, honestly, that was probably the hardest part for me was telling him because he's my hero. And you know, I knew how proud he was that I followed his footsteps. And then to think, you know, he's like, my son, the doctor. I'm like, hold on, Dad. let's think about that. And so, you know, it took me, I kind of made the decision in my head. It took me a month and a half though, to sit down and tell my parents. And I was, you know, and thank God the first words out of my dad's mouth were, look, life is short. We want you to do what makes you happy. And they've supported me. And, you know, because honestly, if he'd said, no, you're not leaving medicine, I don't know that I would have the stones to just walk away and like threaten my parents owning me. It so, I, you know, it was lucky.
And that's the wrong job to be in if you're losing interest.
100%.
You know, like you, you know, she died. That's the last place you want to be, fucking cavalier. So you made the right.
My dad, you know, because he, I was a chip off the old block. What's that?
What's that?
Sorry. And you know, but I think I don't know how, because I can't imagine if I had a kid and he did that, that I would be as cool as my dad was. So, you know, I'm.
You're a single guy though. You're a single guy?
Yeah. You know, and it's dating in the times of coronavirus is fantastic.
Yeah, it's, watch out, man, for that corona pussy. I got the whole time. Gotta watch out for that shit. And the girls, the corona cop, they got. It's a weird time to be single. It's me popping blue.
It's actually more dangerous to suck somebody's fingers than their dick. That's the beauty of it. Is your hands are now the problem. The dick, no one cares about anymore.
Look at that. You've been safe all along. Yeah, it's I don't know. And it's the same thing where I feel like, you know, I'm on a dating app, but, you know, what are you going to do? You have chemistry with someone. You're like, okay, I'll see you in 6 months.
I know what you're going to do. You're going to put pictures of you behind that desk at American Ninja Warrior. Wait, it's a vagina. I don't know.
I wish reality TV doesn't move the needle. You don't have photos of me walking into the octagon. So there's nothing. People are like, oh yeah, you host a ninja show. Can you introduce us to the ninjas? They seem very fit.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say, I guess so. You know, we always look at, like, because Matt's a TV, you know, an iconic guy on TV, and women really do love him. He's underselling himself. Women love Matt Eisman. They love his, because he's an everyman, but he makes you feel safe, but he's really smart and he's funny. Believe me, the fucking panties are being thrown at him. He's just a nice guy.
Jim, I should put that endorsement on my dating profile, Jim.
That's got to be fantastic.
Yeah, you know, at a certain point, you go, "What's the common denominator in the failed relationships?" It's me. You know, that's a reason I'm single.
Yeah. Do you have a pet?
No, I love my job. I love doing what I'm doing, and the crazy thing with this, because I was doing the show for A&E, where I was flying to New York every week. You know, flying on Sunday, fly back on Tuesday. I was doing corporate events. I was touring with, we were doing events with Arnold Schwarzenegger from, I'd met him through Apprentice. We were doing stuff. Uh-huh. And now I'm doing nothing. You know, I've got no work. I have a podcast game show that comes out April 14th, or I don't know when this, I think it'll have already come out. And So Factorious, it's April 14th. That's it. And so, you know, we recorded that back in October. So I'm promoting that, but I've got nothing, you know, nothing on the foreseeable horizon, because everything is held from Ninja and Live Rescue, and, you know, had another series that was potentially going to go, but we're just waiting.
How many episodes did you do?
We did 50. It was we did it in 8 days. We did 50 episodes.
Wow.
In 8 days. So it's going to be every week coming out. And, you know, it was, I love, I'm competitive. I love game shows. And it was a blast to do, because it was, you know, we did it as a podcast, because, you know, wait, don't tell me the NPR show has been pretty big, but there really aren't many podcast game shows out there. But if you have Jeopardy on, you don't need to see it. You could just listen for the most part. So the people who created it came up with a format where we could just play, you know, just have it audio, even though it was set up to be actually a TV show.
How does it work?
What's the premise?
So, you get a clue. So I give you a clue, and that's the initials of the answer. So one of the, like, okay.
Give us a clue.
Oh, I'll give you one. Okay. So the way it would work, we'd have three people. So if you guys think you know the answer, just say your name. That's the way you buzz in. You get one guess. If you get it wrong, you're out for the question. So I'm going to give you the initials of the answer. Then I'll start reading you facts about the answer. When you think you know it, you say your name, you buzz in, and then you get a chance. If you get it wrong, then your opponent gets the rest of the facts, and they have an easy time getting it right. Okay.
Are you ready? Video games or cartoons or Star Wars.
No. All right. Well, expand your minds here, gentlemen. It could be anything. It could be a person, place, a thing, anything. Ready? Okay. So, okay. Your clue is B-B. So the answer will start with the letters B-B. In 1987, at the age of 30, BB met his equally as famous sibling for the first time.
Ah, Bruce Buffer.
Well,
Jim Norton.
Jim Norton.
Well, I want to disqualify Jimmy because he didn't say Jimmy. He just said Bruce Buffer. Your name's not Bruce Buffer. Disqualify. Give us another one.
All right. Okay. Here's the first rule.
You're right. Sorry.
Jimmy's got a quick mind. All right. Here's your next clue. Starts with the letter G. G. So one of G's creators came from a family of spiritualists, including his great-grandfather, a psychic investigator, and his grandfather, who made a radio to contact the spirit world at the Bell Telephone Company. Boy, they didn't think of Jim when they wrote this question. Okay, the white fluff used in the making of G was actually over 100 pounds of shaving cream. And I wonder who they called to get all that cream. The scientists in G were fired from my alma mater for med school, Columbia University, but they then went on to start a business investigating the paranormal. The movie starred Bill
Matt! Ghostbusters!
You gotta call Matt Sarah, evens it up at one
apiece. Oh, I understand. It's a movie.
So you see, okay, here's another one.
Okay.
It's one to one.
So excited. The
clue is again the letter G.
Ooh.
Letter G.
Okay.
Okay, here you go.
Okay.
G's were the sex symbols of their time. In fact, entrepreneurs would bottle their sweat and sell it in tiny bottles, marketing it as a powerful aphrodisiac. I don't think it's still available, Jim, so don't look for it.
Oh, shit.
The first G's performed their art at funerals where bloodshed was considered a good omen.
Gladiators.
Gladiator is right. 2-1.
I'm a G.
I would never have got that. I thought maybe gypsies. I was totally wrong.
Fucking G at this game. When is this podcast? I'm listening to
Sarah, the amazing thing is every time you answer, I think you have an orgasm. That's incredible.
I'm G at this game. I'm garbage.
You get the sense of the game. We do a bonus round. It's fun because you can play along. And, as you see, you start getting hooked on the clues. I had a blast doing it, so we're hoping.
Let's do one more. Do you have one more? That was fun.
All right. That's good enough. That was good. Let's end with me on top.
I'm
really kidding, Jimmy. Let's go again.
We'll do one.
Except Jimmy cheated. Let's go. You gotta yell your name. Wait. We have to know the rules. You gotta say Jimmy.
Yeah, you can't with him either, Jim.
The difference is we're doing this face to face. This is probably an audio only where people aren't looking at us. You have to say your name because then it's just people yelling audio wise. With us, we know who's answering.
That's true.
Now I think we're splitting hands.
All right.
I'm playing by the rules that Matt, our guest, laid out for
us. You're correct.
Hold on, Matt. Don't look away for a second. Jimmy, I'm sorry, Jimmy. I don't like to argue with my
team. I agree. It's okay.
Jimmy, I love you, man.
I love you too. It's okay.
I got to say, I think this is the healthiest relationship I've ever seen Jim Norton in.
Jimmy knows. I will never try to alpha my Jimmy bird. But let's go, Patty.
Well, we saw what happened when Jesse Ventura tried to alpha him. Okay. Riff raff hair. So PC is your hint. PC. Now, if you want to use the PC, you have to pay a toll, which can run over $500,000 in some cases. The lowest toll was 36 cents, paid by American adventurer Richard Halliburton, who was swimming. On average...
Panama Canal. Jim Norton, Panama Canal.
Jim Norton evens it up.
I think that your comedian friend is going for the more intellectual questions. Go back to pop culture, please, Maddie.
All right. Here it is.
Do you know what a Camorra is? I was going to ask you some questions. Maddie, I'm having fun.
It is a dead heat. This question will determine the champion. And your clue is CK. CK. CK was born in Riverside, Iowa. CK had an older brother named Sam who passed away while CK was in the service. CK never married, but has a son named David, or so the story goes. Michael Myers, the murderous villain in each of John Carpenter's Halloween movies, wears a rubber mask originally created as CK's death mask.
I know it, Jim Norton, Captain Kirk.
This is for the win and the sense of drama, Captain Kirk! Jimmy Norton.
What? Captain.
It was Captain Kirk. By the way, you know who's going to be impressed is your boy, Mr. C. You got a pop culture Star Trek question, Jim Norton.
Yes, I did. But I read that recently that the Michael Myers mask was actually a William Shatner Captain Kirk mask that they dyed. They did something to like make it look a little bit different, but that was actually a Captain Kirk mask. I didn't hear that fact recently, I never would have known that.
That's a fun fact.
Then there's like a bonus round where you try to do three answers in 60 seconds, and that's where you win the money.
That's actually a really fun game.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You came up with that?
No.
So the people who created it did, if you've heard the show Chopped on the Food Channel, one of the biggest, they've done tons of TV, Cleve Keller and Dave Knoll. And it was, you know, good game shows are simple. And this is a simple formula. You know, the twist is you get the hint, the clue, and then we give you the facts. And but it's fun because you think you know, but you can't keep guessing. You get one guess.
How do you get contestants?
So we did it in New York. We just put out an open casting call. And, you know, in New York, there are a lot of people who don't have anything to do who want to play games. Right. So we get people out. This is supposed to become potentially a TV show as well, but that's on hold.
My thing is this, Maddie, is for somebody to go and leave being a doctor to L.A. to try to be a comedian, are you being honest? Your father didn't call you a fucking loser or anything? Because it's crazy. It's
behind my crazy. Back.
The chances of somebody making it is very difficult.
Yeah.
So, and did you ever, like, try, before you did that, you made that move, I mean, I'm trying to look, I'm a level-headed guy, I'm trying to think like your parents. Do they know you were funny? Did you ever try to do something at fucking Yuck Yucks or something?
My college friends told me I'm like the 17th funniest one they know. I think I guess it's the same when you think you're going to be a UFC fighter, right? Or do radio and become a comedian like Jimmy Norton, where you think at a certain point, you bet on yourself. And this idea of, hey, listen, I don't know if I'll be, you know, Jim Carrey or Drew Carey or Bill Burr or Jim or any of it. But you think, I think I'll work hard enough that I'll figure out a way to make a living at this. And I think the difference was in medicine, I knew I could do it. I knew like I was good at science, but with comedy, with entertainment, I just found something I love doing. I love hosting Ninja. I love hosting game show. I love performing. I love doing comedy. And for me, it's like anytime I get an audience, and that's been one of the hardest things of this, is that we don't have a crowd. Like, you know, it's tough, you know, stand up without an audience.
Yeah.
Is death.
You also know though, that if you have a medical degree, you know that you, if his parents know that if this doesn't work out and he goes on this 2-year left turn, he can always come back. He has, you do have a medical degree. Yeah. So it's almost like a lot of lawyers become comedians too. Like Greg Giraldo was a Harvard, he graduated Harvard Law School. There's a lot of lawyers that become comics. You always have that to go back if you want.
But the thing I see is I think comedians are some of the smartest people I know, and not all of them are educated, but you just see the minds, how comedians work. They have to be quick. And so I don't think it's a coincidence when you see, you know, Giraldo or Ken Jeong or some of these people out there who are educated, but just smart. Cause I think, you know, to be a comedian, you have to be a wordsmith. You have to craft it and you have to have a mind that's so facile. And like, you know, we're seeing Jimmy riff. He's got a machine gun mind. It just doesn't stop.
Thank you.
Now, was there any struggle? Or you just went out there and you're like, I stepped in shit. I'm making it.
Yeah, there's always a story. I got lucky in that I got into commercials early. So financially, I was doing okay. But commercials.
What was your first one?
It was a Pontiac 6000 commercial where I was like a Secret Service guy. And I didn't even have a line. I didn't say a word, but I was, you know, a featured player in the commercial. And, you know, I think it ended up being like 70 grand in a few months. And then I got 3 or 4 more commercials in the span of a few months. So, you know, wow. I was making over 6 figures as a resident in medical training with your MD. I was making 32,000. So, and working, you know, 80, 90, 100 hours a week and worrying life or death decisions are being made. So when I'm out here and I get to go do a commercial or, you know, go to an open mic, I just thought it felt like I was shot out of a cannon. because I loved what I was doing. And then it was, I didn't have a beeper. I wasn't getting called in the middle of the night. If I screwed up, nobody died. I didn't wake up with this, you know, impending sense of doom. It was just, you know, you sometimes ate ass on stage, but you're like, yeah, I'll get it next time.
The worst thing that happens is like, see, I look at it like just the opposite. Like if you lose a patient, all right, there's one room full of sad people. But if I bomb, that's 700 people whose night I've ruined.
So 700, Jimmy's packing them in.
I should say, let me stand corrected. 700, that's a full weekend. That's four shows at about 125 each, 140 each. Yeah, I guess there is a huge risk with medicine, and there's like, because comedy is such a risk, bombing, everybody's scared of it. Yeah. But when you look at coming from medicine, where the risk is somebody dies, this is almost a much lighter 100%. Risk.
It totally, I think that was like a healthy perspective that I had coming into entertainment was, you know, we treat it. We do. We treat entertainment obviously like it's life or death, right? You're making a commercial about hot dogs and people feel like, you know, we're against the clock and people are screaming, but this isn't life or death. And that idea of coming into this and also having gotten my MD, it felt like, all right, I've done something. Because, you know, entertainment's a business of no. You get told no thousands of times.
Sure.
You got to have some, I think, sense of, all right, I'm that's not going to crush me. And I was luckier, you know, I was late 20s, so I'd done something in life. I think it's, you know, for people who start 18, 19, who don't have a lot of success, that's the determination, you know, for those people where they haven't really achieved much to keep going and have that unshakable faith. I had the advantage of going, all right, at least I feel like I've accomplished something so I can do this, that kind of positive mindset that this business challenges.
Well, Matt, we have to go. We have Justin Gaethje on hold.
People are telling me I gotta. No, you know, boys, Justin, I can't thank you enough.
Waiting in the wings. But you know, I'm a fan, and I love what you're doing. And that game show was awesome. Like, when can people hear that and where?
Every Tuesday, if you go wherever you get your podcast, go to Apple, subscribe Factorious. So Factorious, Factorious. I appreciate everyone checking it out. And Matt, Jim, I thank you guys, man. I'm a fan of both of you. So Matt, it's nice to meet you.
Jimmy. Awesome, man. Nice to meet you, buddy.
And good luck with the show. It's honestly a great idea. And I'll definitely talk to you again soon, all right?
Boys, have a good
one. Take care, Matt.
All right, Matt, take care.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Support for UFC Unfiltered comes from the official electric razor of UFC, Manscaped. You ever have an awkward moment where you had to spar against someone who had a full bush coming out of their shorts? Matt, this is more your territory. I've never had that. Have you?
I know I'm getting a little like wild up top with my beard, but it's a party down below because of Manscaped. I want to thank Manscaped, and my wife wants to thank Manscaped.
Well, Manscaped partners with top-tier UFC athletes like Max Holloway, Francis Ngannou, Brian Ortega, and these are fighters that know hygiene is a priority within MMA. It's a very, very important thing, especially if you're doing North-South. I mean, you don't want to be sparring with someone who hasn't Manscaped. It's awful. And isn't it nice after a girl, like say, you know, you push back your car seat and the girl's taking care of you. Is it nice afterwards that she's not going, trying to get a hair out of there? That's the worst sound ever. Being nice and trim. Women appreciate that. Not nicking your balls. UFC fanatics, listen up. Don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. That's just nasty.
And listen, I've been with my wife a long time. When you like to keep it fresh, sometimes you got to change the design. I like to do a little arrow pointing to goodness. I'm not telling you what I'm doing down there. That's for me and my better half. But I'm telling you, I'm not doing it without Manscaped.
The Lawnmower 3.0 comes with the new Perfect Package 3.0, which makes you step up your grooming game. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut, free, smelling nice down there. Speaking of smelling nice, let's be real. Have you ever smelled your balls after a long training session? I mean, I do 30 minutes of kickboxing and they smell like French onion soup. I can imagine what it's like after 2 hours of rolling around on the mat. That's why I'm grateful for their Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver. These products keep balls from sweating, smelling, and sticking. And these products smell nice. Perfect Package will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxer briefs. Not only comfy, but anti-chafing. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code UFC20 at Manscaped. That's MANSCAPED.com. Give the perfect gift for your balls and your sparring partner. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code UFC20 at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at Manscaped.com and use code UFC20. Thank you, Manscaped, for supporting mixed martial arts worldwide. And thank you for keeping everybody's balls fresh.
What's up, Matt?
Man, thanks for coming on with us, buddy.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me. I always love talking to you guys.
It's got to be a roller coaster of a few weeks for you, no?
That is a great, great description. I always describe this whole ride or this whole career as a roller coaster. I tell all my friends and family, you know, be careful jumping on because we don't know how this ends. You never know how this one ends. But it really was. It was great. I loved it. You know, I got that feeling. I'm not going to get to fight, but yeah, it was a crazy, crazy, you know, just my, when I get to turn it on, it's crazy. I really got to understand or notice how fast I could turn it on. And really, you know, I was really, really apprehensive to be confident. And then like 4 or 5 days after I signed that contract, you know, I was like, I was all in, you know, it was game time.
How did you find out that they were thinking of it? Like, you know, there was word, is Habib going to be able to get out? When did you first get word that, hey, this is being bounced around?
It was a Thursday, not this last, 2 Thursdays ago. You know, they called me, it was like 11 p.m., asked me, and I told them to call my coach. And coach was like, you know, we don't take late notice fights. And I was like, you know, you're right. So, I said no. I was like, you know, went to bed, slept, you know, told my coach I'd sleep on it. And then we went to sparring. And I've been sparring for, you know, 3-4 months. I had a couple guys fight in Vegas. I was their main training partners. And I've been going like 7-8 rounds, you know, two times a week, you know, for like 3-4 months, you know, just getting people ready and really just staying in shape. That's how I, you know, and I really, really enjoy it.
When you were talking about a great description the other day, just before, I like when you said, I don't want to misquote you. I'm fucking terrified and I love it. I love that. As a fighter, I know exactly what you're talking about. Could you explain that feeling to people that don't know what that means?
Yeah, man, it was, I couldn't, you know, I haven't had this feeling a lot of times in my life.
Is it because of Tony Ferguson? I'm sorry, is it because of that point?
I think that was a big part of it, but really it's, you know, I've really bought into the fact that preparation is everything. And if I'm prepared, then it does not matter what happens, you know, winning, losing, like it literally is not even a factor. But that wasn't a possibility. So I was scared of that. That was scared of my lack, you know, and I was also, you know, a little bit upset. I could have been training a little bit harder. But like I said, after 4 or 5 days, I was all in. I was like, here, I'm telling myself what you got to tell you. I'm a bad motherfucker. You know, like it's game time. Fight's a fight. And yeah, man, I was all in.
I was happy you got this because I think you're in a tough position because the reality is nobody wants to fight you. Nobody wants to fight you. So I think that the only way for you to get to a championship fight is going to be that there's just simply nobody else they can put in front of you. Because I think other fighters don't want anything to do with having to fight you. So this was a fight out of necessity. And I do think you'll get the first shot. I'm hoping at least that if Khabib can't fight until September, I'm still hoping you and Ferguson can happen. Because I think you definitely deserve it.
I mean, that's definitely a fight that everybody, you know, as a fan, it's just a crazy fight, you know, with me and Ferguson. So I think I want it to happen, but, you know, yeah, I am. It's a great spot. You know, no matter what, I'm going to fight again, and it's going to be huge, you know, right now. And that's a great spot to be in as an athlete. As someone that's been working towards something. I think anybody would fight me for enough money. You know, I don't think that's a factor. But the best, yeah, like I said, it's just a great spot. It's a roller coaster of emotions. And everybody was so nervous when this came up. And I told them all, I was like, well, use this to prepare for the next time because, you know, you're going to have this feeling again. It's going to be worse. So get ready. You know, it's coming.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I don't know if you're going to ask something, but let me ask you something, Justin, because I'm thinking styles and fights. Who, style-wise, would be – because Tony Ferguson – is, you know, they're both beasts. Tony and obviously Khabib is on the beat and whatnot. For yourself, for your style, who do you feel you match up better with?
I think when me and Tony go at it, I truly think like one of us gets finished 10 out of 10 times before three rounds. And I think it's like 5-5, 6-4. Like I really am on it. Like, but I think it's just like the most amazing fight that you know, like reminiscence of Bond and Griffin. Like literally, some, you know, it's gonna be a little bit ugly. But you know, we both got he's funky, man. He's got a really I know you spar guys, they're just weird, and you know, it's like I should beat their ass, but they're just weird. You know, weird timing, weird angles, weird adjustments, wrong adjustments when they're not supposed to. So I think Tony just brings that factor, and I think his cardio is huge. So with the proper training, that fight is like on paper, you know, an amazing fight. Me and Connor, you know, that's with me, if someone's going, you know, 10 out of 10, I guess what you could say with anybody, which is weird, but someone's going to sleep.
Yeah.
I think, I think Tony has a better chance of putting me in a Dars, catch me in a heel hook and put me to sleep.
Yeah.
But, I think he's so dangerous in round, you know, late two, round three, round four, five. You know, he's like extremely dangerous because though, as a jiu-jitsu practitioner, you know, those chokes never go away. Yeah. Those scrambles never go away. So, and when it's comfortable or when you have the ability to go to your back and be comfortable there, like that's a huge thing. That's huge. You know, that's something I don't possess, something I'll never possess, but that's something that Tony does, and that's a big factor when it comes to, you know, round four, round five, and grueling fights, which he tends to be in. And
now, Khabib though is such a ground and pounder, and he's such a beast pressing affairs. He showed power in his hands. He laid down Connor with that right hand, but if he could not get you down and keep you down. Shit, man. I mean, that makes it so fascinating. When I think about you and Khabib fighting,
that's
the first thing I thought about, Jimmy. When I heard about Justin and Tony, I'm like, man, Justin takes out Tony, gets past Tony. I was just already like, yo, Justin Gaethje versus Khabib would be fucking amazing. Like, I'm already looking at that fucking thing. Like, could he keep him down? Like, nobody else is able to keep down Justin. You know, Justin is known for his wars, but who last time somebody took him down and ground and pounded him? Took him down and submitted him? Nobody. So, fascinating.
And I hit so hard. You know, those calf kicks, you know, if I land, you know, six calf kicks, eight calf kicks in the first two rounds, like, that's a huge factor. And if I have the ability to not get finished, keep moving, and do, you know, get into scrambles and get up, you know, through round one and two, it's a great fight. It's all preparation, though. With the right preparation, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's like a weird set of skills. I got super dense bones, so Man, I'm so excited.
Just how did you find out the fight wasn't going to happen? Like, again, Dana did everything he could, but how did you find out, like, look, we did what we could and we have to call it?
I got a little sauna and I was putting it together downstairs to get ready to cut some weight and make it, you know, add that factor. And I walked upstairs and one of my buddies told me, my dad called me. He's like, what happened? I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, the fight's off. I was like, no. And I was like, let me call you back. And then Trevor called me and I was like, what's up? I was like, let me call my manager. And I called him and he's like, it's off. I was like, shit.
How frustrating is it that everything is put on hold when you are really, like, your last three fights, Donald Cerrone, Edson Barboza, James Vick, all vicious, all finishes, top-notch guys, and now everything's put on hold. Is it frustrating?
You know, it is, but it's not something that we're dealing with. It's something that I'm dealing with. It's something that every single, you know, across the world, yes, being affected by this. So, you know, I really think that, you know, like, you can only do what you can do. You know, that's your immediate circle. Help your, you know, be a positive influence, family, friends, you know, community right now. That's all we can do right now. So, I'm going to stay ready. And again, I'm going to fight again. It's going to be big and I'm excited for it.
Did something, you have an amazing thing where you had, I think it was 15-0, and then you dropped two straight and now you've won three straight first round finishes. What happened after that second loss? Was there something that you needed to adjust? Or because it's amazing, like Ngannou has done that. He drops two in the later rounds, obviously both decisions, and all of a sudden three first-round knockouts. Did anything click for you or change?
Yeah, I mean, I think so, but I think time will tell there. There's a lot of factors, a little bit of luck, you know, a lot of skill, and a fight. You know, a fight's a fight. That's what we do. As fighters, you know that you're only remembered by your last fight. So yeah, being on three right now it feels great. Coming off those two, that was a great feeling too. You know, I had a lot to prove to myself, and I remember I'll always remember what that felt like. I was 18-0, you know, hadn't lost, so you know, it's not broken. And then yeah, those were two very similar fights. I lost those for two very similar reasons. I just, in my mind, it was like, let's just not get hit. If they don't hit me hard, they can't finish me. And, you know, I can always finish them through the whole fight. I have enough power to do that. So conserve energy, don't get hit was my only really, you know, mentally. I think I really let my coach come and take the reins more. I think he really wanted to, but I really, like I said, you can't fix what's not broken. So when I was 18-0, you know, like as a coach, I think you really have, it's probably a really big challenge to try and change something, you know, or make a big change. I think that would be a huge factor. So I think it was that was another factor. I was able to really open up, and I was always listening, but really, really understand. I really started to understand what he was doing.
And you talk about taking those losses like a champ. I think your outlook directly affects how you fight, like because you're so willing to lead, like to if like I like you saying about Tony, whether you knock him out or you get strangled in the later rounds, you're fine with any one of those scenarios. A lot of people might say that, but I feel you truly believe it as long as you leave it all out there, and it's a very freeing feeling. I mean, it allows you just to let your you know, just the fire.
It is. It really takes a lot of pressure, a lot of pressure. You know, like so I. It's not only are those like, that's like literally the only scenario that can happen in that fight, you know, or we go five grueling rounds and then, you know, that would suck. You know, I don't want to do that. Someone's got, you know, that's what's going to happen. So yeah, like if I'm going to sit here and lie to myself, then yeah, it's going to be very tough on fight night to make that walk, look myself in the mirror, to not lie to myself. But, you know, I try to take control of all those small factors that I can control. But it really makes it so much easier. And wrestling my whole life, you know, it really, really helped me do that, you know, because you lose things that you should have never lost. You win things you should have never won. And those feelings are the same. They're just a little bit, you know, whatever, a little bigger now. There's a lot more on the line. But at that age, you know, it was just as big. It was your whole life.
Wins, losses, adversity, you credit that to wrestling.
Everything, yeah, everything. My mindset is definitely there. And then I guess I'm more civic to the way I was brought up with my parents and my dad. But it's a very relieving feeling when you could take the pressure of, you know, again, my family's gonna love me. They're still gonna support me as long as I don't disappoint them and I don't disappoint myself and I represent them in a positive manner and I go hard in the paint. Then yeah. What can you be mad at me about? You know, what can I hate myself for?
Were you at all close to? I thought you and Connor would have been such an interesting matchup. Was that ever really talked about seriously, or was it just kind of a fan hopeful, or was there any? Was it ever kind of close to maybe happening?
You know, I guess I can't really. I don't know because I found out I wasn't fighting on the internet. You know, I don't know. Maybe I think it's a very big possibility now. I think it's what should happen. I hope. You know, I think I want to see Khabib and Tony. I'm not gonna lie. You know, I want to see that fight. Yeah. I think me and Connor fight, and we fight the winner of that fight. But we'll see what happens. I'm ready to go June or July. You know, I was willing to step in on short notice, but now I need my 8 weeks, you know?
Sure.
What do you think of the Fighter Island thing?
Sign me up. I'm in for June or July, for sure. It's going to be broad. Who knows? It's crazy, you know, every day is different right now with what's going on. And I really think that should be taken into perspective when we talk about that. But it will be a ray of hope, you know, a little bit of sunshine. Hopefully it'll be something good for the people. All I can do is hope that it would help.
You know what's awesome is your shirt. That's Godzilla vs. King Kong, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. That is great.
Jimmy, come on, man. I watched that as a kid. Talk about a remake. Talk about a fight I want to see.
Right?
They got to make a remake of that shit. Hey, Justin.
See, that's Casey versus Ferguson right there.
Hey, did you ever see Skull Island? No, not Skull Island. What's the Kong one?
Kong.
It's not Skull Island. What the fuck am I talking about? I'm eating something.
They're on Skull. Skull Island is the movie. So the movie's Kong, and they go to Skull Island.
Oh, it's fucking awesome, though.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I'm sorry, it just came to me.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie. The graphics are crazy.
It is.
Well, Justin, look, obviously, we're disappointed for you. I was really happy to see you getting a shot.
You're excited for me. I'm telling you, I'm going to fight again. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. I'm being selfish. I wanted to see this fight. It's the 18th, but I'll have to wait for it. But you're one of the most exciting guys in the UFC. You know that. Everybody loves watching you. So good luck against hopefully you're next against Tony. Good luck. We'll hopefully talk to you right before that or right after it, because that's a fight we would love to see.
Everybody. Thanks, Justin.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you next time.
All right. Stay healthy. Sure.
Stay safe. Bye. Hey, man. Jimmy, what a good talk.
Yeah.
You know, I like that we got to talk to your friend Matt.
Yes.
Nice guy. Factorious. Jimmy, what is the rest of your day like, my friend?
I am probably going to do a few push-ups and eat my low-carb keto dinner and be done eating before 7:30.
That's the day? That's weird, it's Jimmy. This quarantine thing is weird.
It's crazy. I'm going to try to hook up a little oral sex. Would be nice.
Oh, you got to – what?
No, like, just saying. It's nice.
You're stretching?
What's that?
You're doing a lot of stretching?
Pull myself in a ball. Thank you to Matt Eisman, who I love. And his game show really did sound interesting. That was actually fun.
Man, I enjoyed it, Jimmy. I did. I like him. And I thought that's unusual. A doctor becoming a comedian. And I didn't believe that the family was right there. What a great family. They back him up right away. Sounds crazy.
Very smart dude. He's a very good host. He's just, when you talk to him, he's just a guy. He's just got that thing, whatever it is that makes somebody succeed, he has. And it's fun to talk to a guy like Gaethje, who comes out of the, you know, I guess he was 15-0 when he got here, and he was right, he was 18-0. And then I'm like, is this guy going to be as good as everybody says? You know, he's this undefeated fighter, and he is just as good as you wanted him to be. I mean, what did Rogan call him? The most violent man in the most violent sport. Which I think really did. I think Justin's incorrect. I think other guys will avoid him if they can, because he's just a savage fighter. And I think that nobody wants to have to deal with him unless it's absolutely necessary.
I mean, I was looking forward to his fight with Tony.
Me too.
I would really be intrigued to watch him versus Habib if Habib could take him down and do what he does to everybody else. Because Justin, again, man, he uses his wrestling just to keep it up. So that's and when he does break away, he's still throwing bombs. His kicks are phenomenal. I mean, wow. I'm a big fan. I enjoy
J.G.
watching.
Connor. I've been saying it for a long time. That's the fight I want more than anything.
I'd rather see him versus Habib.
Woods and Connor, wow, okay.
I'd rather see that, man, because Habib's going to have to do what he does to somebody that's never been done to before. So that's very interesting to me. Nobody's taking that dude down and smashing him.
No.
Not yet. Who did, ever?
Nobody. That's very true. But you look at it like, because I wish I would have mentioned to him how much I love that Barboza fight where it was just calf kick, calf kick, calf. Like they were going back and forth with kicks. And at one point it looked like Edson hurt him. And I meant to ask him if he was really hurt and I forgot. But you look at a guy like Barboza who fought Khabib. And Barboza's a guy who's amazing with leg kicks and keeping guys away. And, you know, he's no slouch on the ground.
He's not been jiu-jitsu and stuff. And he's got good takedown defense.
Yeah.
But there's having that. And there's having a guy that wrestled how Gaethje wrestled. Gaethje's got the way better credentials as far as wrestling goes. And in MMA, he keeps it up. He fucking keeps it up, man. If not, how is Khabib's going to have to take him down and maul him? I mean, chances are that Gaethje's going to get up once, and could he get away and make distance and land those strikes? I don't know. I would be just over the moon for that fight.
Yeah.
I think that's something else. You know, so what else have we got? Anything new? Anything else in the headlines, Jimmy, before we take off?
Nope. Just we'll see what happens in the next couple of days and any progress on Fight Island. I'm sure now that this has been pushed back, they're going to be working really hard on that. So I guess that's going to be the focus, just trying to get some place for them to do events for the next few months.
And Dana said it should be ready in a month.
Good.
Which is exciting.
Good.
You know?
Justin said June or July, he wants an 8-week camp. So, you know, we will we'll see. Hopefully something June or July will get scheduled on this island.
Well, Jimmy, I mean, I just want to remind people that are listening to this that they can watch this also on Fight Pass, UFC Fight Pass, which I've been watching a lot of because I need my fix of fights, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
I need it, Jimmy. And everybody else should just check that out. And besides that, that's it, Jimmy. What do you want to plug?
What am I plugging? There's a brand new Chip Chipperson podcast up. And I know, Matt, that's a show that hopefully you'll be on very soon. And it's Jimmy. On Chip Chipperson's YouTube.
Oh, man, I'm gonna spread the word about Chip. Jimmy, let's just talk one more time about my facial hair.
Sure.
A 5'6" Jason Statham with Kimuras. Yes? Huh? No? I mean, is it a little bit,
yeah.
Is it growing on you, Jimmy?
A little bit, yeah. I'm getting used to it. I'm not used to it. It really looks like a different you that I don't know. It looks like you getting out of lockup. It looks like you.
It feels like me with one of those. You ever see those faces, and you got the magnet thing, and you put the little black stuff. And
yes. The little shavings.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, you know what, Jimmy? I'm gonna let it grow a little bit. Keep shaving the head, though. If not, that's just a sign of me giving up.
Okay.
Jimmy, I love you, and I miss you.
I miss you too, pal.
And I will be seeing you in a couple of days.
Yes, and thank you, Matt. And, of course, thank you to Matt Eisman and Justin Gaethje. And we'll see you in 2 days.
All right, Jimmy. Later, everybody. Right, we love you. Stay safe.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.